As we continue, just a moment's prayer before we come to look again at God's word this day. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your holy word. Thank you for its light that it casts upon us. Thank you that it guides the way that we walk. Father God, we pray that you will speak afresh to us this day. We ask it for your greater glory. Amen. In a moment or two, I'm going to look back at that reading from 1 Chronicles. If you have a Bible, it'll be useful to have that available to you, but don't worry if you don't. It'll be fine to follow it in any way. It's always helpful to have the Bible in front of you. But before I do that, I'm going to just tell you a modern-day parable, something of a Father's Day parable. I hope it'll help us engage when we come to the passage of Scripture. And by the end of the sermon, well, I hope you'll just remember the key thing that God has for each one of us today. So a modern-day parable. Well, it's Father's Day, so James wanted to do something special with his little son, Jimmy. So he says, son, Jimmy, anything you'd really like to do right now, today? And he says, I want to go to McDonald's and get some French fries. Okay, well, if that's what you want to do, that's what we'll do. So they head off to the place of the Golden Arches, to McDonald's. And I hope no one's hungry, by the way. I hope you had a good breakfast. Anyway, they get there, and Jimmy was licking his lips as they stood in the queue, and he overhears his dad say, oh, yes, make that extra large. He's pretty excited. And James gets the money out, and he pays for it. And he picks them up and he takes them to the table and they sit there. And again, little Jimmy is just, his eyes are shining. Grace consists of a quick, thank you God for this food. Amen. And away they go. Well, I mean, James is just delighted to see the little boy so happy over something that is just so simple. And he decides, of course, he would like to join the fun. So he just reaches across to get a couple of the French fries. Quick as a flash, little Jimmy's arms are around them. They're mine, he says. Well, Dad was in a state of shock, just sitting there thinking, what on earth is going on? And he just kind of starts to think to himself, what's going on? You know, doesn't he realize that I'm the one who gave him all those French fries in the first place? That if I wanted to, I'm bigger and stronger than he is, and I could just come over and take the French fries. Or I could go back and I could order my own. I don't need these fries. In fact, I'm very tempted to go and get so many French fries and give them to him, he'll have to be sick if he wants to eat them all. And his dad thinks about that. He says, what's really going on here? And all he wants, he doesn't want the French fries, he just wants little Jimmy to invite him into this special world that he'd made possible for his son. He just wants his son to be willing to share the very blessing that he had provided. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven on earth is yours, and of your own have we given you. I guess in these days where we're conscious of our healthy eating and other issues, I must point out that my parable does not imply in any way support for the fast food industry or McDonald's. That's a disclaimer. It's just the story really didn't work when I tried to replace the French fries with Brussels sprouts or carrot sticks or something really healthy. It just kind of didn't work. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours, and of your own have we given you. They're inspiring words, and they're often used as an offering prayer, and sometimes at a communion service when we receive our offering. They're the words that we use to express our thanksgiving to God, and the fact that we know that we're giving back something of what he has given us. They're words that are easy to say as part of our service, but I'm convinced that actually they make a huge difference to our lives if we can live in the light of them. That actually, if that is our underlying attitude, an attitude of gratitude to God for all that we have and all that we are. The more I think about it, I think the more ways that come to my mind that it makes a difference. That if I have an attitude of gratitude, it'll make a difference to me and to those around me. It'd be quite a change for me, really, because I guess if you don't know me particularly well, you wouldn't know that actually my temperament naturally is, well, if grumbling was an Olympic sport, I'd be there in Beijing for Team GB. No question. Now, my excuse is that I have a particularly clear and analytical mind. So it is my duty to point out what is wrong in any given situation. To a superficial observer, it may resemble grumbling, but it's just a gift that I have. No, I joke. It's just an ability to see what's wrong rather than what's right, to see what's not there rather than appreciate what is there. For me, an attitude of gratitude would make an enormous difference. The challenge for me is to replace that tendency to grumble with gratitude for all that God is giving me. I mean, attitude of gratitude, well, it makes all the difference when we gather for worship, when we come to worship Sunday by Sunday. I don't know about you, sometimes I am right there with David in this scripture. I arrive on a Sunday or some other time, and I am ready to rock. I am ready to worship God. Praise be to you, O Lord. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. And it just, let's worship. Other times, I'm not feeling quite that ready. I'm sure it never happens to you. I'm sure you're all just so much better at this than I am. Sometimes it just is more of a struggle. But an attitude of gratitude makes all the difference as we come to worship the living God. You see that in our reading. The praise that comes from David from verse 10 onwards in our reading, from verse 10 to 13, is focused on you. And that you is not you, it's God. When he's talking about you, he's talking about God. Praise be to you, O Lord. And it goes on from there to talk about you and yours, referring to God. Yours is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendor, and the majesty. Yours is the kingdom. You are exalted, O Lord. Wealth and honor come from you, Lord. Who is the ruler of everything? That'd be you, Lord. In whose hands are the power to exalt? Yours, Lord. And we give you thanks and praise for your glorious name. God is never more or less worthy of our praise than he is right now. Today, June the 15th at approximately 11:03 a.m. Hong Kong time, God is never more or less worthy and deserving of our praise and worship than he is now. He is from everlasting to everlasting. His greatness, his power, his glory, his majesty, his splendor, and his utter generosity that gives us everything we have and everything we are do not change. We take stock. We have every reason to have an attitude of gratitude to him. Yes, our feelings, our mood and our feelings, well, they'll change depending on how we're feeling. They will go up and they will go down. But God's character, God's action, God's generous gifts do not go up and down. We always have a reason to be grateful and to worship our God. If you were here back then in September, the first Sunday that I preached here at Chartin Church, I mentioned then the Bible teacher Alan Redpath, and I'm going to do it again. Alan Redpath had a phrase that he would use, hallelujah, anyway. And he'd use it to encourage people to worship when we don't feel like it. Hallelujah, anyway, to worship when times are hard or difficult. But on one occasion, after his son had been through a very, very difficult personal time, his son corrected him. Back to the Father's Day, you see, it's a wise father who can be corrected by his son. I hoped someday to achieve that state. But his son corrected him, and he said, Dad, it's not hallelujah anyway, it's hallelujah because. We don't worship anyway, we worship because. Whatever our feelings or our circumstances, and I know this morning there'll be some people here who are probably going through painful circumstances and hard times that I can't even imagine. That whatever our circumstances, or our mood, or our feelings, we have good reason to worship God, to demonstrate an attitude of gratitude for all that he is, all that he does, all that he gives, this very moment. This attitude chooses to focus on the Lord and not on me and my circumstances, my feelings, what is important to me. Our attitude then focuses on the Lord. And saying thank you to God, well, that's the place where our attitude of gratitude has to begin. That's where we start. God is always great, always glorious, and majestic and splendid. And he is the giver of all our good gifts. That is the reality. And if we can take on an attitude of gratitude, we're actually bringing us into line with the reality of who God is and what he's doing. That's the first thing we see in David's prayer and praise. But things move on from there. It moves on. David praises the Lord, but then his focus moves from God to God's people in verse 14. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? He's reflecting on the generous gifts that God's people have given of themselves, their gifts, their talents, for the building of the temple that was to come. Goes on to say, we are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Sounds a bit bleak, really. Not much of an attitude of gratitude here, but actually there is. Aliens and strangers refers, of course, to where God's people are coming from, their identity as people who have been rescued from where we were and brought to a new home in a promised land. We remain aliens and strangers in this world because our home is elsewhere. But these aliens and strangers have achieved something amazing. They have inherited their home, they've completed the great purpose God gave them, and now they're ready to build his temple. And David's attitude of gratitude moves from gratitude about God to gratitude for God's people. He gives thanks for what God is doing through his people. Grateful for the human generosity that will make building this temple possible. Oh yes, everything comes from God, that's for sure. He's the great giver. But people give so generously of themselves that this purpose, this achievement, is possible. And David goes on to say, all of this comes from you, it comes from your hand, all of it belongs to you. And then in verse 17, I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. Gratitude moves from gratitude for God and his giving to gratitude about God's people, for their generosity, for their character, that they are being used by God to achieve his purposes. He has an attitude of gratitude for God's people because God chooses to work through us, his people. Each one of us is God's gift to one another and to the world and for God's kingdom purposes. It's quite a good day to have taken a photograph, really, to remember that. But if you just look around a moment, what a thing of beauty you are seeing. God's people, irrespective of the particular shape of the person around you, or whether they put their best shirt on or done their makeup, great beauty. You and I are God's gift to each other. That is what it is to be part of God's people. Whatever gifts or skills or background that you have, that you bring to this church, no one can replace. You are unique. And it's no accident that we are here. Under God, together, we will achieve things that no one else could or would achieve through the hand and purposes of God. That's something to be grateful for, to say thank you to God for those around us and ourselves included in that. Because often people find that very hard to accept, that yes, we are God's gift to one another. I wonder when the last time you felt able to thank God that he'd not only given you your brothers and sisters, but he also made you who you are. Not someone else, or even a different you. Can be very hard for people. Sometimes we struggle to come to terms with just who we are. That actually God has not made a mistake making us who we are. And the challenge is to accept that God really does have an indispensable place for each one of us in his church and in his service. We matter to God. That is why he has given us to one another. Often, it's interesting, as you get to know people, you find that the last person to appreciate what it is they're doing or what gifts they have is the person themselves. You know, you talk to someone and the people around them are aware of the way God is using them or the gifts that they have or the skills. And everybody else can say, oh, so-and-so always has just the right word to encourage. Or I was aware, they just mentioned that, you know, we've been praying for that and we see God at work. Or they have the gift just to naturally introduce Jesus to friends and those around them. And very often the person doing it seems to have no idea, and yet the person and people around them can see our gifts and what we bring so much more clearly than we can. One of the marks of proper Christian humility is to accept that kind of encouragement from others, to actually accept God's opinion of us rather than our own idea. And as I say, the number of times I've heard very gifted Christian people say something on the lines of, oh, I don't really have any gifts. You know, God could never really use me. It's ever so sad because it's not true. God has created us to serve in his kingdom. And the question is always, can we accept that God has made each one of us unique with a combination of gifts, skills, abilities, and potential that no one else has? Even if you've got an identical twin or in some secret laboratory, a clone hidden away. No, not that. Even if you've got an identical twin, you have a unique contribution. I think I need to shout. Oh, no, I've come back. You have a unique contribution to make for God's purposes here on earth through his people. It's dreadful at this point because I think of one of the worst songs ever written in the Christian scene. It always makes me think about this. Some of us, I imagine, were around in the 1970s, yes? Yeah, a few of us were born and around, yeah. Not everybody, I know, but some of us are old enough to have been there in the decade that fashion took leave of its mind. And also, there were some great songs written in the 1970s. Those of us around who, was it, I don't know if Sounds of Living Water got to where you were. Yes, I can hear Fresh Sounds. And there's one particular song I always remember from those days. It was written in 1974 by Brian Howard. It's gone through something of a revival in recent years, at least in the children's work in the United Kingdom. But I wonder how many of us remember it from back then when it first came round. I'm sure if you heard it, you would remember the Butterfly Song. Yes, one or two knowing looks there. With the memorable opening line, "If I were a butterfly, I'd thank you, Lord, for giving me wings." Yes, yes. Oh, enough of us. Let's sing it. No. No, don't do that. I could see John making a bolt for the door at the mere prospect of it. But it was a wonderful song because the different lines, complete with actions. If I was a butterfly and a robin in a tree. Oh, yes, yes, robin in a tree. And there's the fuzzy wuzzy bear was a particular favorite. Let alone the octopus. Oh, wiggly wiggly worm. Thank you. See, I'd forgotten the wiggly wiggly worm. An elephant and a kangaroo and all wonderfully helpful actions. But the line I always remember from that song is, "For you gave me a heart and you gave me a smile. You gave me Jesus and you made me your child. And I just thank you, Father, for making me me." There you go. We could have sung it after all. No, definitely not. One of the wonderful things about that song is that sense of an attitude of gratitude towards God for all that he gives us, but also for making me me, for making us us, that sense of gratitude towards God, but also towards God's people. And God has not made mistakes. He's made us who we are, and he has brought us together. An attitude of gratitude towards God and towards God's people, yourself included. That attitude, I'm convinced, can make an enormous difference. Whatever gifts you have to share, and by the way, despite what I said earlier, grumbling is not a gift, definitely not included. Whatever your gifts, they need to be appreciated as gifts from God. Remember the words, "Everything comes from you, O God, and of your own do we give you." And you are included in that. Well, just to conclude, I want to come back to the sign of the dreaded golden arches. I'm going to ask you to do something this week. This week, every time you see the emblem, you don't have to be going in to eat there or anything, but if you walk around Hong Kong, you can't avoid seeing that trademark. I'm just thinking, every time that you see it, take a moment and give yourself an attitude check. Just take a moment and ask yourself, what is my attitude today and right now? Whatever is going on in my life right now, can I deliberately choose to have an attitude of gratitude? Attitude of gratitude towards God and towards God's people, myself included. Just try it for a week and see what difference that it makes.